I noticed on the list, the problems that were outlined were child care, pregnancy, housekeepers. What did the housekeepers refer to? Bringing someone, trying to find someone to come into their home. Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, the woman who came into my house was not a housekeeper woman. Mm-hmm. She was a woman who had her own, I think her husband was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a lovely, lovely woman. I felt so lucky. And she did my washing and ironing and took care of the children. She was just wonderful as long as she could do it.
Hmm. Personal clean, I assume, cleanliness.
Well,
is that something that...
That was
be
a real problem, too.
Oh.
Just with hygiene.
Oh. That would be called to your attention by someone in the department, mm-hmm. in other words?
Mm-hmm. It couldn't work with people because they smelled so.
Uh-huh.
That's always a tough one, but...
How would you handle that?
I just told them. And I would just... I didn't believe in building up to those things, so mm-hmm. I would just simply say that there were lots of deodorants, and if one didn't work, they could try another, but they couldn't work closely in a group where this was offensive. And maybe they didn't even know it, but it had been reported, and they were to take care of it.
So it sounds like you were sort of the safety valve in a lot of
yeah.
ways.
Well, I think they all were. Yeah. All the counselors were.
Did the counselors who came out of a more professional background have difficulty dealing with problems like that? Do they find that very difficult to do?
That is a difficult problem. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much education mm-hmm. you have. And my approach simply was direct because that's the way I would like it done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they may have handled it differently. Maybe they had learned certain techniques, but basically they have to tell them.
Now, restrooms, would that be a complaint that the women were bringing or... Would that be your going, or the counselor's going?
Things that happened in the restrooms. You see, the restrooms were also, they had cots in them where they could lie down if they didn't feel well or anything. And there was always a matron there. And so sometimes problems would happen there. People would go in and maybe they would be in tears or something.
Oh.
And so there were lots of problems, not any problems with the restroom, but problems emanating from there for whatever reason.
Mm. Now, how would that then be handled? Would the matron then contact you
yes.
and tell you that there's
uh-huh.
a problem with such and
yes.
such a person?
Or they would ask the counselor to come to the restroom, and you would go and talk to the girl, take her back to your office. Or if she was sick, you'd got the nurse, or you would do whatever.
Was there ever resentment on the part of a woman, for instance, if the matron had noticed that she seemed distressed and would call a counselor? Was there...
Not as a rule. I really think the counselors were pretty well accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I really think there were. I think a lot of people at first thought, well, I certainly don't need that. But as they went along and as they learned to know the person, I think they were comfortable in discussing their problems with them.
Did you ever have complaints that the counselors had to deal with about the way some of the men would be treating women in a department?
Yes. Yes, I think so, in just work relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that very often, if you could identify the problem to the man, it was corrected. You didn't even have to ask him to. You just have to say, well, you know, so-and-so has this problem of communication or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and maybe if you could explain it a little bit more, it would help, or whatever you... What I always try to do, and I think most of the counselors, I would put them through what I call a training week or so before they started on the job. And I would approach all these problems the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said, this is what I did. This is what I find successful. And whatever your personality adapts to that, this is the general philosophy. What you do, I can't put words in your mouth to do it, but this is what you have, this is what you're aiming for. And so they pretty much would do the same thing. And what we tried to do was to say to the man, this is a problem in your department, and how do you think we should handle it? Or she seems to need to know more about this, or need a little bit more instruction in this, or whatever. And she's upset and feels uncomfortable telling you this, mm-hmm. because you have told her a dozen times. So then he would say, well, I'll take care of it. And mm-hmm. And it usually was,
mm-hmm.
and was grateful to know that it was still a problem. In fact, they didn't like you to know that they had a problem. They didn't want you to know. But if you let them solve it, then they were the only ones who could, but then there wasn't so mm-hmm. much of a problem.
Mm-hmm. With the health, that would be health issues that they would bring you, that mm-hmm. you would find out about. Housing. You mentioned before that you would then refer them to the appropriate agency.
Mm-hmm.
Was there much...
And we would work with the agencies. If there were a whole group coming in from a certain section, we would go to the housing authority in that area and say, what is available here? What can we do to help? Is there anything?
Was this primarily because of the large number of new in-migrants that you had to face the housing problems?
Some, yes. And then some women would, or families would have to give up mm-hmm. what they were living in and find less expensive housing mm-hmm. during this period. So there was relocation from that kind of point of view.
Do you recall many instances of women with small children particularly who would move in with each other and share apartments and houses?
Some did that. Some did that. I don't remember that it was a major mm-hmm. move, but some did that. And well, some did that where they worked on different shifts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they would watch uh-huh. each other's children.
Yeah.
What was your sense of the major form of child care that the women did use?
I think the schools.
You do? Because we've done all of this work about the child care centers, and there have been so few women that we've talked to so far who've called us who have used the school child care centers. Most of them seem to have, there was a relative who mm-hmm. came out from somewhere else and took care of the children mm-hmm. or a neighbor.
Well, they were crowded.
Yeah.
They were always crowded, and in some areas people had to wait to get their children mm-hmm. into them. So they were used a lot.
But certainly for the Burbank area, mm-hmm. your sense was that the mm-hmm. women did. Transportation, safety, legal. What would be some of the legal?
Well, there were some legal. There were people who wanted to get a divorce mm. while their husbands were still overseas, falling in love with somebody else. There were lots of people would ask you questions about rents and how, and you know, things like that we didn't dare answer. You know, we mm-hmm. couldn't give a legal answer. And our legal department would handle a certain number of those. We would refer them, you know, we would call our own legal department. And they would give answers to a point. And then they would refer them to an attorney and find an attorney for them. Or three. We always had to give three.
Three referrals? Mm-hmm. That was both for doctors, attorneys, for any
professional service.
Mm-hmm. But for agencies, that wasn't necessary.
No, because every agency had a very strict mm-hmm. thing of what they would do. And I became very dependent on the Salvation mm-hmm. Army and have since contributed an awful lot to them simply because they didn't pull any punches. Mm-hmm.
Leave of absence. That someone would come to the counselors to request a leave rather than to personnel or supervisors?
No, they had to. They had to do that through the supervisor and the personnel department. But they would frequently discuss it and the length of it and such. And sometimes they would ask us for our recommendation.
Mm. How common was that, requesting a leave? Because you mentioned before that very few people wanted to actually quit before the end.
It would have to be for a particular reason. Maybe they were pregnant. Mm. Or maybe they had to go back east and see about a relative or something like that.
But that wouldn't be a problem normally if it seemed to be legitimate in arranging for a leave of absence.
Oh, no.
Nutrition.
Well, some people just didn't eat well.
And how would that come to your attention?
They just would have colds all the time and would not be well, and sometimes that would come. And we gave lectures on that. We had people in to talk about that occasionally. And we had one big program on vitamins, where Dr. Borsuk, I believe his name was given a grant to come in Lockheed with vitamins, because they weren't all that great at that time. They weren't all that prominent at that. We forget all those things. And he came in and took a whole bunch of people and gave one group and did a wonderful study on that. His name was Borsuk, and I don't remember what the grant was. And he took... And that was very obvious, a lot talked about in the plant about that, so you stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But nutrition, you'd find, you know, women cooking for their children and not wanting to eat.
Mm-hmm. Just because of tiredness?
Yeah.
Well, and how would that be handled? The nurse would alert you to the fact that someone was having
sometimes,
a health problem?
Sometimes. Or if we found it, we'd get that through an attendance program. So, you know, people were out a good deal. We would start to inquire why they were out, and we'd ask them what they were eating, and we would maybe initiate the problem, find out what the problem was before the nurses were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I notice here there's a total number of cases, repeats. Induction talks to new women, so it does seem, when you said you thought that perhaps they did. Then termination interviews and terminations retained. Do you know what that might refer to?
Termination interviews. Yeah, we must have done that. A retained being. Well, it could have been when they were, if somebody was leaving because they were angry about something. And we talked them out of it.
Mm.
That's probably what that means. I since don't believe in that very much.
I'm trying to talk someone out.
No, I feel if they're going to leave, they're going to leave. Yeah. And it's a question. However, there was so much at that time, so many problems, that I remember a girl coming into the factory one day, and she would have left that day because she was just terrified, the noise, the whole bit. And she came into my office and said, "I just don't think I can do it." And I said, "Well, then why don't you go home? And then come back tomorrow and we'll try it again. Maybe you can stay a little bit longer." And we did things like that, that people would think, "Oh, I've got to stay till 5 o'clock. I can't stand it," you know. And then she came. But a lot of people might have quit right then. Mm-hmm. That kind of a termination I'm not talking about.
Yeah. Was there a lot of that problem in initial adjustment just to the industrial environment?
Oh, yes, because they were terrified. They didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so my best way was to release them immediately. Go home and think about it. If you don't want to come back tomorrow, that's all right. Come back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But do come back, because it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take you by the hand, you know. And that's really what it was. It was a lot of handholding.
Mm-hmm. And then at that point, the training was going on within the industry itself, wasn't it? So by the time they'd gone through a couple of week training, it was clear that if they had adjusted or not.
Yeah.
I know at Volte, they had this man named Tuttle. Do you remember that name at all?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a lot of articles during the period about personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the articles refers to painting all of the moving parts of the machinery red, because the women were not accustomed to the machinery and were so terrified. Yet when you located that there were only three moving parts, or when they knew which the moving parts were, they became much more comfortable. Do you recall things like that being done?
Yes. I don't recall any of doing the parts particularly. I remember them pointing out when I was trying to do them, but it seemed very simple that I could see them. But I wasn't terrified at that point. I already had my job, you see. But I do remember, you know, arrows on the floor telling me where to go. And, painting all they trying to do because they were handling. I remember counting one morning at the medical desk 100 people passing my desk to say something personal to. 100 people. You see 100 people at your desk from 8 to 12 o'clock. That's a lot [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of people. That is a lot of people. And so, you know, you're talking about great
right.
numbers of people. We just haven't had anything like that yeah. since.
That's one of the things some of the women that that were interviewed in class last spring talked about, was this, when the shift was over, this just rush yeah. of people and
yeah.
the fear
yeah.
on the part of many of them. And I know in some companies, initially at least, they would release the women a couple of minutes earlier before the end of the shift. I think Douglas Lakewood did that at one point,
mm-hmm.
and then until they got more mm-hmm. accustomed to the whole thing.
We didn't do that, as I recall. We just hoped for the best.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you can recall that we might not have covered? I think a lot of things are going to probably start popping into your head
yeah.
now. But
well,
I wonder if there are points that I simply didn't cover at all that you think should be mentioned.
I think we've covered a lot, really. And I don't think, I just was terribly impressed with the stamina and the intelligence and the common sense of the majority of women is fantastic. The problems that we really had that were personality problems were very few
mm-hmm.
in comparison to the number
yeah.
of women who were there. And the problems of help were the main part of the job, and that we just did to expedite the time so they could stay on the job. But I think women are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The problems were really the reality problems of their lives.
That's right.
That's how a woman is going to juggle these two jobs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done,
mm-hmm.
and certainly has been proven since.
Yeah.
But
well, I think what one of the things that's always interesting is when I talk about the period to people, especially younger people, and on the whole issue of child care, have said to me, do you mean to say these things that we're talking about now for child care for working women, that it used to be those?
Uh-huh.
I mean, realizing
that's
the sorts
right.
of services that were set up during
that's
the war
right.
when the women
uh-huh.
were needed
that's
at
right.
work.
And so much of it has been carried on, but a lot of it began right
yeah.
then, because it had to. The community had to help, too.
When did you... You said you did go back to work eventually.
Yes.
So you quit in 46, and
yeah.
then you went back to work how much later?
Oh, I went back to work, I think, in 51.
And was it similar work?
I went back to work then. My husband, again, was out of a job, and so I went back to work for that reason. I waited longer that time, thinking he might find something. But that was a political thing. He went to work with for Manasco, and the president got rid of everybody who had been there before him, one of those deals that lots of people go through. And so then I went back to work, and I went to work for an employment agency for a few years, and the Ruth and Robert Agency in Hollywood. And I worked with those girls, in fact. Then I went from there, I went to work for the Collier Chemical Company, which is a subsidiary of Union Oil.
Mm. Was that in some sort of personnel?
And that was a personnel mm-hmm. assistant to the personnel director. And I worked for them for about 5 years, and then they had their third personnel man, and he was a statistical man, and I was a people man. And so I said there wasn't any point in us continuing, because he would resent anyone coming to see me, and that was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't function. And so I left there, and then I went to work for the Capital Research, and I worked there until I retired as personnel director.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this really launched the Lockheed years really launched your whole career.
I wouldn't take anything for the years I had at Lockheed. I did a lot more than personnel there. But I had many options to go into after that. I could have gone in many directions from there.
When you were going back to work in 51, did you think at all of trying to go back to Lockheed?
Yes, I did. I went out and talked to Mr. Shacklight because he had been so sorry to see me leave. And I then was sorry I hadn't taken the half-time job, which I would have had all that time. But I didn't know that, and I can't fault that. So he said, by all means, he'd like to have me come back. So he sent me to one department head, and I went in to see him. He said, oh, well, Susan, you're perfect for the job, but he said, you come back in here on this job, you won't be on it 30 days. Somebody else will get you in another department. So he said, I don't really want to hire you because I don't want you in that job. And so I just decided, I used to say you can't warm up a souffle, and I just thought maybe I wasn't supposed to do that. Mm. So I didn't try anymore. Mm-hmm. I just didn't even attempt to. He would have given, he said, I'll hire you, this guy. I will hire you, but I know that's what will happen, so I'm not very happy about doing it. Whether it would have or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I decided that maybe that was an answer to, I kind of believe that you are sort of guided. I don't know how it's done, but you're sort of guided in what you're supposed to do, and you feel right about it. And if you don't feel real good about it, then that isn't really what you're supposed to do. And I've always lived that way, and so I had to listen to it then. And that's why I didn't go back. But as far as the top man was concerned, it was open to me to go back. But, and maybe I should have, I don't know, but I didn't.
Did your husband come to accept your working?
Yes.
When you did return leave?
And, but up until the, even when I went to work for the last company I worked with, he would like to have had, was making all kinds of noises about that job because I thought it was a job that I could leave at 5 o'clock, but I didn't have that kind of a job. It wasn't that way. And so I came home one night and I said, now I can't put up with this anymore, and if you want me to quit, I'll quit and I'll get another job. But it better be as good a job as this one, or you'll have a tiger by the tail, because I said, I'm happy with this job. It is particularly suited to me. And if I give it up, it will be at your request, and then you better be able to deal with me, because it won't be easy. And he didn't ever give me any trouble after that. Maybe I should have thought of that sooner, but I wasn't in position really to quit ever before. It was necessary that I had to be. So, anyway.
Well, interesting.